here this morning to share with you the precious Word of God. I'm appreciating much for you to come to hear the Word of God. No explanation, no interpretation, just the Word of God. Amen. And friends, the time has come when we all believe that the second coming of Christ is just before us. We're not only in the end time, we're at the end of the end time. And if you look into the Middle East, all the countries around Israel, what is taking place since the gentleman from Iran made his visit to Lebanon? I remember when I preached in Lebanon, in Beirut, in 1969, how it was then and how it is coming up now. Even when I preached in Egypt, in many churches, right down to where the celebrity lives. And God blessed the word and called out his people everywhere. The same applied to Syria. I went right down to Aleppo, not only in Damascus. God opened the doors that his last message would reach even the Arab world. I preached in exactly 15 Arab nations, Islamic nations, never attacking a religion, but just preaching the Word of God. And they who are born of the Spirit of God will hear the Word of God in every nation, because the first promise God made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 was to bless all nations. And if you go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, in Christ, all the nations are blessed. Amen. And we must be in Christ, and Christ must be in us. So we partake of the same blessings. Now, I was asked to touch on a number of different subjects. I will try, by the grace of God, to do so. But first, I would love to appreciate my friends who have come, Brother Noble Gill, and all the other friends who speak maybe Urdu or any other language that is spoken in the region, and also all our brothers from the African continent who speak different languages. How many speak French? Almost everybody. Sure. And then we've got friends here, I think from Romania. God bless you. God bless you. We just appreciate to live at this time, when God brings all things to a close, yet to a summit. I like to read, start with 2 Timothy, chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profiteth for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The preaching of the Word of God contains a number of aspects that we must consider. It's not just preaching, it's instruction, it's correction. Everything must take place under the preaching of the true Word of God. Are you ready to receive correction from the Word of God, not from me? I need correction myself. So, in the 17th verse, it says, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good things. You brethren, men of God, who share the same word, the same message, this is addressed to you. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, comes the warning. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word. Be diligent. In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. God has placed different ministries in the body of Christ, but then we read that there will be some having teachers of the things they like to hear. And brothers and sisters, let me say this very straight. This Bible is being explained in so many different ways. You can go from denomination to denomination, and even to the founders of the denominations. You go back to Martin Luther. He left the Catholic Church, but he took teachings from the Catholic Church with him. You go to John Wesley. He left the Lutherans, but he took some teachings with him. You go to John Smith, the Baptist man. He left the Methodists, and he had taken teachings with him. But this is God's time. Amen. And let me maybe even say this. When the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place about a little more than 100 years ago, not only in Azusa Street in Los Angeles, but in China, in Europe, I met people in 1953 who were there in 1906 and 1909 when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place at the turn of the century. But beloved brothers, we have to admit that even the Pentecostal revival stayed teaching wise in Rome, believing in the Trinity, believing in the triune baptism. And the Bible only speaks, I noted it down, how many times? 5,757 times speaking about one God. Amen. Not about two. And in the first commandment, in Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt have no other gods besides me. But then, when you go to the Trinity teachings, they have one God in the middle, and then the other ones, they have left and right. I'm only mentioning these things, not going into details, but somewhere I should have a picture here showing a triune God. I'm only saying this because when William Branham was called by God Almighty to bring the message of the hour to take us out of all confusion, out of all man-made teachings, bring us back to the original teachings of the Word of God. There's one God who manifested himself for our salvation in heaven as our Father, on earth in his only begotten Son, in us by the Holy Spirit. God above us, God with us, God in us, the same God accomplishing his own plan of salvation to bring us back as sons and daughters of God into our original position. Beloved, when William Branham brought the message, all the other evangelists remained in their own traditional teachings. And I know these great evangelists because I attended the international conventions. And everyone was building his kingdom within the kingdom of God. But William Branham, a humble man. I was in the University of Oral Roberts in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was to be the manager of T.L. Osborne in 1960, becoming the European manager. Being with Mother Cirola here in London in a very great meeting in many, many years past. I know all these great men, so-called great men. But I say again, not judging, but they are deceiving the people, claiming to be men of God. A man of God has the Word of God. A man of God has the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so we understand from the Holy Scriptures, as Brother Branham many times referred to Matthew 24:24, that at the end the two things would be so close to one another. Speaking of the Holy Ghost, speaking about the return of Christ, speaking about Israel, speaking about the signs of the time, and remaining in their own ways right until this day. So we understand the grace. The grace. Genesis was the calling of Abraham. But then in Exodus chapter 33, Moses was speaking to the Lord God, "If I have found grace in your sight, let me know your ways. Let me know your ways." Isaiah 55, "My ways are not your ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts. As the heaven is higher above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts." So, coming back to the seriousness of the message of the hour, and to you, beloved brothers, don't make your own message. Stay in the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. Today, many refer to Brother Branham, speak of the message of the hour, and some believe that Jesus Christ has already returned in 1963. They believe it. They're convinced that in the cloud that appeared on Sunset Mountain, when Brother Branham heard the seven thunderclaps and he knocks seven times on the pulpit and says, the thunders were so great, the whole earth shook, the tops of the trees were cut, and the rocks were moving down the mountains. I saw the rocks which had come down the mountains with these eyes. I saw the chopped trees with these eyes. But that was not the return of Christ. That was not the rapture. There, William Branham received the commission, return to Jeffersonville for the opening of the seven seals. So, by the grace of God, we have the responsibility to place everything according to the Word of God. I sometimes made the statement, as long as I'm on earth, the rapture has not taken place. Because if the Lord comes, I go. And we all go. Of course. And even there, their respect towards the Word of God is absolutely necessary. And the Scripture very definitely says, when the Lord comes, our bodies will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. And incorruption shall take on incorruption. And if you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord Himself will come. Now the message is now.
Amen.
The message is now.
Amen.
But when the second coming takes place, the Lord Himself will descend from heaven.
Amen.
With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive shall be changed, and together we shall be taken up to be with the Lord. Please remember this forever. Every promise God made is connected to reality.
Amen.
The birth of the Savior was a reality. His life was a reality. His ministry was a reality. His suffering was a reality. His death was a reality. The burial was a reality. The going down to hell was a reality. To conquer Satan, death, and hell. And to rise on the third day. The resurrection was a reality. And then our Lord taught His disciples for 40 days. And after that, according to Luke 24, verse 50 and 51, He took them to Bethany, just the other side of the Mount of Olives, if you look into the northern direction from Jerusalem. And friends, there He lifted His hands, blessed His disciples, and before their eyes He was taken to glory. And they looked, seeing Him going up. And then they fell on their faces, worshiping God. And if you go from Luke chapter 24 to Acts chapter 1, verse 9, 10, and 11, the same Jesus will come in the same way as you have seen Him going up into heaven.
Amen.
The message is now. It's a calling out time, as we emphasized, and restoration time. But the return of our Lord will be a reality.
Amen.
Will be reality, not a teaching. Then there is a teaching that Brother Branham has to return. And it's very strong in the USA. Very, very strong. But is there a promise in God's word for that? No, there is no promise. And if there is no promise, there is no fulfillment.
Amen.
First, you must have a promise.
Amen.
And true faith anchors into the promises of God.
Amen.
If you don't have a promise, you have imagination.
Amen.
No more, just imagination. But if you have a promise, your faith anchors into that promise. And then first, you believe the promise, and then the promise carries you into the reality. Abraham believed God, and he saw the promise fulfilled. In the same way it is with us. I don't want to go into the number of different teachings which have come up in the message of the hour. I am just burdened, and I have one desire: to see the bride of Christ being part of the word, of no interpretation. And let me say this directly. Every Bible teaching unites us in Christ, connects us with one another and with the Lord. Every wrong teaching brings division and many other evil things. So God is now placing the ministries that are ordained for the upbuilding of the body of Christ. And this is also one of the questions here put before me to clarify unto us Ephesians 4:11 and Matthew 24:45. Beloved brothers, this is actually very easy if you see it by divine revelation. Let me say this. The ministry of the Apostle Paul was connected to the fivefold ministry the Lord had ordained and placed into the church. But his ministry was part of the plan of salvation also. In Acts chapter 13:47-48, he could say, "Now we turn to the Gentiles, for it is written, I make you a light unto the Gentiles." That ministry was not only connected to the fivefold ministry, but it was part of the plan of salvation for that day and time. At the same time, it belonged to the fivefold ministry. In the same way, Brother Branham, he had a direct evangelistic ministry as no one else since the days of the apostles. All the great evangelists, they celebrate themselves. They speak about a prosperity gospel. They rob the people from their money and they become multi-millionaires. But William Branham had a ministry, evangelistic ministry, a prophetic ministry, never calling people to give money, but believing and trusting God. At the same time, as I said, his ministry was in connection to the ministries placed into the body of Christ, but his ministry was worldwide in connection to the plan of salvation. Behold, I sent the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now the question here is about Matthew 24:45, where the Bible speaks about the servant that will give out the food in due season. And even this ministry is connected to the fivefold ministry, but it's for the whole body of Christ worldwide, worldwide. And let me say this, that I do appreciate what God is doing in our time. And as I mentioned yesterday, I didn't know about message or messenger. I had no knowledge of any promise in God's word. I was just in the Pentecostal free assembly. But then, when I heard Brother Branham, there was something in my heart connecting to him, to the preaching, and to his ministry. And then, of course, all the other steps that the Lord had granted me, and the times I could be together with Brother Branham and witness this supernatural ministry. Beloved, let me quickly mention this. When Brother Branham came to Germany and Switzerland in 1955, he spoke no word of the German language. But for every person that stood before him on the platform to be prayed for, God showed him a vision. He could say to one sister, "You're not from this city, you're from Hamburg. I see your work as a nurse in a hospital. Last week, Wednesday, you went to your room during the midday break. You opened the window to the garden and you prayed, 'Lord God, let me be in the prayer line when I'm going to be in the meetings.'" Just saying all the details, he saw a vision. And if you read John chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, the Son can do nothing but what he sees. Jesus Christ had a prophetic ministry as Son of Man. And I mean, this is also very important for our ministering brethren. Our Lord had four Son titles. Four. Son of Abraham, Son of David. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. These two are mentioned. Son of Abraham, Son of David. And then Son of Man and Son of God. A Son of God is our Savior. A Son of Man, he had to be a prophet. A Son of David, he is King. A Son of Abraham, he is the heir of all things, and we're co-heirs with him. Brothers, all these things have their place in the kingdom of God and plan of salvation. So, our brother had to have this ministry. And by the way, on May the 7th, 1946, about 11 p.m., when the angel of the Lord entered the room where Brother Branham was sitting and having the Bible on his lap, and the angel came from the presence of God, and Brother Branham feared, because a supernatural light descended, and in that light this angel descended, and Brother Branham describes him from top to bottom, the weight, how he looks and everything. And the angel said, "Fear not, I'm sent from the presence of Almighty God to give you your commission." And then he said, "This Moses was given two signs. Two signs are given to you. One sign will be You take the patient's left hand with your left hand, and you turn your hand upside down like this, so that this part will be seen. And the patient that has a cancer, a tumor, or anything, the sickness of the patient will appear on your hand. And tell the patient not to close their eyes, but to watch during the prayer when the healing has taken place. This will vanish from your hand. I've met especially Gordon, Lindsay, and his wife, who were with Brother Branham right from 1946, 47, 48, 49, watching this gift in a very special way, sitting on the platform. If you go to the days of Moses, the Lord God said, two signs are given to you. Put one, put your hand into the bosom and take it out. It was full of leprosy. Put it back and it was like a child. It was healed again. And then he had the staff. Put the staff onto the ground and it's to become a serpent. And then the magician came. Like today, yeah, the magicians came and they did the same. But then something happened. The servant of Moses ate up all the other servants. And finally, there was only one. And Moses took it and it became a staff. So the victory was God's. God gave the victory over all the magicians. And the victory was in the hand of Moses. And from that day, the staff had a very powerful meaning. Even when I go to Israel, and when we go to the Red Sea, to the place where Moses had to put up the staff. Moses put up the staff, but God parted the water. But God always uses men in his kingdom and in his plan of salvation. So friends, we're not telling stories. We are telling reality. And then the angel of the Lord explained that the same ministry that happened with Jesus Christ, a Son of Man, will repeat now. And it will be the last sign to the church. The last sign to the church. And I told you before I shook Brother Branham's hand, he looked at me and said, you are a minister of the gospel. And if I think about all the other experiences God let me have, friends, I can truthfully say, what my eyes have seen, my ears have heard, what I've personally experienced, it means very much to you. Every experience means much to you. It might not mean something to somebody else, but it means something to you. So, all you beloved brothers, you have a part in sharing the spiritual food with God's people at this time. It's not a one-man show. There are ministries in the body of Christ in every country, and I hope soon it will be in every city. God always takes one man, like it took Moses, like it took John the Baptist, like it took the Apostle Paul, like to Brother Branham. I had the privilege to store up the food, to store in the food. And when Brother Branham said on December the 3rd, 1962, in the presence of Fred Sutman and in the presence of Banks Woods, Brother Frank, wait with the giving out of the food until you get the rest of the food. At that time I did not know what is written in Amos, that God would send a famine to hear his words. And then if you go to Matthew chapter 24, beloved, please hear this. In Matthew 24, just before chapter 25 is fulfilled, behold, the bridegroom comes. We read from verse 45 to 47 about the food, about giving out the food. And then in chapter 25, we read about, behold, the bridegroom comes, go ye out to meet him. The word go ye out is so important. Lot had to come out. Noah had to go in. One had to come out. One had to go in. Before you can go in, you have to come out. You have to come out first. From all denominations, from all religions, come out, ye my people, and be separate, says the Lord. Then I will receive you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters. In reality, not by lip service, but in reality, you shall be my sons and my daughters. Now very quickly to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want you to notice this, beloved. It says here in verse 3, according as he has given us, according as his divine power has given unto us things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. And now comes the verse I'd like to emphasize, by which are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. Promises that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. You must have something divine. And that's the word of God. That are all the promises by which you partake of the divine nature. Not only the talk about things, but the reality. And the reality is, as we continue to read in verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Here we have something very special. We all know the three apostles, Peter, James, and John, were with our Lord on the Mount Transfiguration when Moses and Elijah appeared and the cloud came down and the voice spoke, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. These three words, hear ye him. And then they saw no one else except our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever a prophet's ministry might be, finally, we don't see Moses, we don't see Elijah. We see Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We see Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and we follow Him. Let me make this remark. In our day, there are many who claim to follow William Branham. And they close the Bible, and they put it aside, and then they have a staple of many sermons, and then they choose what they wish to say. Take things out of context and say the prophet said. Take the next brochure, the prophet said. But they've taken things out of context. One of the major things were when Brother Branham was in Phoenix, he said, I will come back. And from these few words, the brethren have made the doctrine that William Branham must come back because he said, I will come back. But he may never come back to Phoenix.
Amen.
Can you imagine? You can take quotations from the lips of William Branham and bring destructive doctrines to the people. So we must go back to the word of prophecy. We must go back to the Holy Scriptures. And here, the Apostle Peter makes a wonderful statement in verse 17 and 18. For he received from God the Father honor and glory.
Amen.
When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, that this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And now comes the testimony. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. How great thou art.
Amen.
And this voice we heard. We were there when it happened. We were eyewitnesses of the glory of God. We were ear witnesses when the voice spoke these words, this is my beloved Son. Brothers and sisters, a witness must have seen something. If he has not seen something, he cannot be a witness. He cannot say, I imagine, I think. He must have seen something. But now, in addition to that great experience, we heard this voice. Now he comes in verse 19 to show us that we must go back to the Holy Scriptures. We have also the more sure word of prophecy, unto which ye do well that ye take heed as to a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And again, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And then verse 20, for the prophecy came not at the will or at any time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Beloved brothers and sisters, every word of prophecy, every scripture will be literally fulfilled. Even Revelation chapter 10 will be fulfilled precisely the way the scripture says. And especially to you, my beloved brethren, let me make this remark. In Revelation chapter 10, our Lord comes down as the angel of the covenant. The rainbow always speaks about the covenant. Like in Revelation chapter 4, the rainbow. Here we see our Lord coming down as the angel of the covenant. Revelation 10. Not as bridegroom, not the Son of Man, not as judge, not as king, but as the angel of the covenant. And this takes you back to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, we've got two things, and only one of these were fulfilled. I read Malachi 3 before I continue with Revelation 10. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. That's the end of the first promise. Confirmed in Matthew 11, verse 10, in Mark chapter 1, verse 2, in Luke chapter 7, verse 27. Confirmed. But what about the second part? What about the second part? And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. And then you read verse 2 and 3 to know precisely what is going to happen when the Lord comes down as the angel of the covenant. You must go to Isaiah chapter 61 to know there were two things in one verse. And you must go to Luke chapter 4 and see only the first part was mentioned and not the second part, because the second part will be fulfilled now. So in Revelation chapter 10, we see, and let us read it very quickly, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed in a cloud. A rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as the were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. You continue to read, and only then, when he places as the original owner, one foot on land and one foot on sea, that is when the seven thunders will utter their voices. Not now, then, when it happens, according to the Holy Scriptures. And when this takes place, it says here in verse 5, and the angel whom I saw standing upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and so forth. And then it says, there will be delay no more. Most of the translations say time will be no more. This translation, Schofield translation, says, and also the German and delay will be no more. Time will even be throughout the millennial reign. But now, when this happens here, according to Revelation 10, there will be no more delay. Then the things will just happen one after the other. And just to show you that from this moment of Revelation chapter 10, there will only be 3.5 years to the beginning of the millennial reign. First, I read verse 7 to you. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he has declared it to his servants, the prophets. If you go to the opening of the seventh seal in chapter 8, Revelation chapter 8, it says in verse 2, which is the beginning of the seventh seal, in verse 1 is only the silence in heaven, but I'm on earth. I must know what is going to take place on earth at that time. And from verse 2 we read, and I saw seven angels who stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And then you have the precise description. And in verse 7, you have the first trumpet, and exactly what is going to happen when the first trumpet will be blown. In verse 8 and 9, you have the second trumpet, and precise description what will take place when the second trumpet will be blown. In verse 10 and 11, you have the third trumpet, and the precise description what will take place. And from verse 12 and 13, you have the fourth angel who will sound and blow the trumpet, and precisely what is going to take place. There's no interpretation needed, only the clear decision to read the scriptures and believe what is written within it. And then in verse 9, in chapter 9, we have from verse 1, we have the fifth trumpet and all the connection, even to the 5 months of special things which will happen at that time. And they who do not have the seal of God in their forehead will be tormented 5 months. Everything is described very precisely. And then you have in chapter 9 from verse 13 what is going to happen during the time when the sixth trumpet will sound. And that already brings you to the great destruction. Here you read about the Euphrates River. You read about the men who are for the day. Let me read so you will understand from the Holy Scriptures. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. If you know, the river Euphrates starts in Turkey, goes right through Iran, goes right through Iraq. You just take your map and have a good look. And these destructive angels are bound at the river Euphrates. Why are the things now happening in all these countries around Israel? Why? It's a preparation for this great day. Let me read verse 15. And the four angels were loosed, who were prepared for the hour, for the day, and for the month and the year, to slay the third part of men. But now I have good news for you. All these things will happen after our time.
Amen.
Amen.
There's not one thing, not one trumpet will sound in our day and time. This is after the rapture. But just to show you, after the six trumpet angels have sounded, the announcement comes in Revelation 10:7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he has revealed or declared to his servants, the prophets. Here we have a wonderful comparison with the ministry of Brother Branham. William Branham was not the seventh trumpet angel. William Branham was the seventh church age messenger for the Laodicean church age. And through his ministry, not only singular, the mystery of God, but all the mysteries from Genesis to Revelation were made known. And when Brother Branham, as I said before, just at the moment of February the 28th, 1963, when he was on the Sunset Mountain and these seven thunders were heard and shook the whole earth, and then the advice was given, return to Jeffersonville for the opening of the seven seals. But here we have the precise comparison through the ministry of Brother Branham, and I repeat, all the mysteries were revealed. I would not know what happened in the Garden of Eden. And then comes William Branham and says, the angel of the Lord stood in my room, and he told me what happened around midday with the serpent and with Eve, and before the evening of the same day with Adam and Eve.
Amen.
Making the declaration, the angel of the Lord stood in my room and told me, friends, I take off my shoes. I take off my shoes. In our time, God Almighty has done supernatural things. And all who are part of the bride will hear what the bridegroom has to say.
Amen.
Then I owe it to you to show you when it says here, and he swore by him that lives forever and ever, and lifted up his hand towards heaven. Let me read from Daniel chapter 12, to show you from the Holy Scriptures that from that moment, when the swearing is taking place, there would only be 3.5 years to the direct end. Daniel chapter 12, and here we shall read verse 7 and verse 8. And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever. The same wording as in Revelation 10, you have here in Daniel 12. swore by him that lives forever and ever. And now, in the second part, and it shall be for a time, times, and a half. Time, times, and a half. So, here we have the precise information and revelation how long it will be until the end of all things. Beloved, when I came to know the ministry of Brother Branham, I read the Bible over and over again. I did not only translate all of his sermons into the German language, which I did. I know his sermons in and out, in and out. Nobody can come to me and say, Brother, and so and so. I would have to say, please show it to me where it is. But I just meant to say this, the grace God gave unto me to know the promised word, to know that Brother Branham was the promised prophet who was to come before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. At the same time, we have to admit that the prophet's ministry must be followed by a teaching ministry. If you take what our Lord said in the four Gospels, then you go to the book of Acts, and then you go to all the letters written to the different churches. One goes with the other. When Brother Branham, usually he read one scripture, maybe two, the most, maybe three. The most scriptures I read in one preaching was 65. I used 65 scriptures in one sermon. I never forget it, because Sister Kupfer, how many knows Brother Kupfer? And Sister Kupfer came to me after the service in Nuremberg, and she had noted down all the scriptures that I was using. And she said, Brother Frank, you used 65 scriptures in the city of Nuremberg. Everybody knows Nuremberg. After World War II, there was a judgment upon all those who were responsible for World War II. But I just want to say this. I must place everything in the Word of God, in the Word of God, Old and New Testament. I just can and will never leave the Word of God. No, and never. No, it's impossible. I'm with the Word, in the Word, and only if you respect the Word of God, it will be revealed to you. As we said before, and I'd like to show you two or three more things, and then we shall close, the importance of going from the Old to the New Testament. For instance, in the prophet Joel, in chapter 2, we have the promise what would take place, even in chapter 2, verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And upon my servants and upon my handmaids, in those days I will pour out my spirit. Did you notice the difference? Sons and daughters, servants and handmaids. We are sons and daughters. And if you go to Revelation 7, don't hurt the trees until we have sealed the servants in their forehead. The servants in their forehead. But something more important is this. After the announcement in verse 31 that sun would turn into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come, we read in verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. I take you to Acts chapter 2. Imagine for one moment that the Apostle Peter would have mentioned the second part in his first sermon, that salvation is among Zion and in Jerusalem. Then every one of us would have had to go to Jerusalem and to Mount Zion. The Apostle Peter only referred to the first part of the verse, which applies for our time. The next part will be fulfilled with Israel, because the word of God will go forth from Mount Zion and the teaching from Jerusalem. I'm just referring to these things, beloved brothers and sisters, to let you know how important it is. Not only say it's written, but to place it. To place it correctly, according to the plan of salvation. Here in Acts chapter 2, in verse 21, we read, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Period. No more mentioning of Mount Zion, no more mentioning of Jerusalem. That's still in the future today. So only that part which pertains to the New Testament church period was mentioned. Beloved brothers, it is so important to be under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to divide the scripture correctly, as the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy. The same applies to Isaiah chapter 61, where our Lord made the two statements. We'll read it to you just to show you again how important it is to take the word of God precisely. Isaiah chapter 61, I only read verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Here are two things. Acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance. You come with me to Luke chapter 4. Our Lord only read the first part of the verse. He never read the second part, because then he could not have said, today this scripture is fulfilled. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He that sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and reconcilance, and to the captives, that they should be free, recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. And then in verse 19, it's a short verse, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Period. Period. Nothing of the day of vengeance, just for the time of grace. For the time of grace, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, what is the acceptable year of the Lord? If you go to Israel, if you go to Leviticus, especially, I think it's chapter 23, every seven years was a Sabbath year, but every time seven multiplied by seven, the 50th year was the year of Jubilee.
Amen.
The year when everyone returned to their possessions. No more slavery, nothing to be paid for. Everything was paid, and everyone could return to what he belongs, actually, before becoming a slave. And brothers and sisters, this is our time. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. And to finish what we try to say here today, the importance of placing every word of God just precisely where it should be. Take the Old and the New Testament and have the harmony within the Holy Scriptures. Then you take everything Brother Branham said into the Word of God. You don't make two things, Bible here and message here. Then the message is the Bible, and the Bible is the message, and then there is harmony in the teaching, in the preaching, harmony with the ministers, harmony with the congregations. Finally, to let you know the promised word and the importance of the promised word, we could go into many different things. Where the Bible speaks about the last days in the plural. Like in Acts chapter 2, in the last days God will pour out His Spirit. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, God has spoken in times past through the prophets in these last days. Last days He spoke to us by His Son.
Amen.
Then if you go to the prophetic scripture, Psalms 90, and also 2 Peter chapter 3, one day with the Lord is like a thousand years with us. Then if you go to the history of mankind, there were 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham. 2,000 years from Abraham to Christ. And we finished again 2,000 years. And in Revelation 20, we read five times about the millennial reign, that we should reign with Christ 1,000 years. Nobody knows the precise day or the time or the month, but we know that we're very, very close to the second coming of Christ. And to be honest with you, when I finished my journeys in the last year, I just made the decision, actually, to only go to cities and countries where I've not yet been to let the rest of the people know. Actually, to only go to cities and countries where have not yet been killed, to let the rest of the people know what God has promised and what God has done in our time. Now I came because of the invitation. I came to be with you. But beloved brothers, if you are up to date, every first weekend of a month, we have services, international services, in the mission center. And if you believe it or not, at the first weekend in February, 790 people from around the world joined us by internet to hear the word and to see what God is doing at this time. 790. Right from New Zealand, where the sun gets up the first on every day, where the day starts, right all over the world, even from Ashdod, Israel, from everywhere, the people were joining us to hear the word of God. In a matter of 2 years, I will be 80, and I cannot travel as I used to. God gave me a wonderful time to serve Him. I'm grateful for this, but now I'm also very thankful that we have the opportunity to be heard all over the world, all over the world, that the people can be brought up to date. And if you cannot join us on a Sunday morning, you can join us on a Saturday evening, and the preaching is put on DVDs, and everybody can have everything free of charge. In all these years, we never sold one thing. Everything we gave out free, and this will continue until the Lord comes. But let me give you these three scriptures. I noted especially from Psalms 22, verse 30. His seed shall serve him. Psalms 89, verse 29. His seed shall endure forever. Isaiah 53:10, he will see his seed. Seed is a very, very important word. The word is a seed. And Christ was the promised seed. And we are the promised children of God for this day. I give you, you write down, I noted it down here, Romans chapter 9, verse 8. The children of promise. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. The spirit of promise. Galatians 3, verse 19. Until the seed comes, which is Christ. Galatians 4, 23. Born by promise. Galatians 4, 28, ye are, like Isaac was, the children of promise. Beloved, let's bring it to the point. Only those who are the seed of God will hear the word of God at this time. And only the seed of God can be born again. Because you need the seed for the new birth. And the seed is the word of God. And then you are connected to God, to His word, to His promises. And those who are the children of promise believe the word of promise. And they are sealed by the spirit of promise unto the day of our redemption. So this is God's time for God's people to hear the last call, to line up with God. And I say again to my beloved brothers, don't make your own message. Don't come up with your own thoughts. Stay in the Word of God. Only if you are in the Word of God, you are in the will of God. And the thought comes to me, I must read it to you. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. It says here of our beloved Lord and Savior in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Sanctified. Sanctified. When Christ died for us, when He redeemed us, when He shed His blood, the new covenant came into force. We were redeemed. We were justified. Everything God gave us in Christ. And by one offering, it says here, we are sanctified forever, once for all. And the Holy Scripture says in John 17, 17, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is the truth. But now, two more verses, verse 12 and 14. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. That's Psalms 110. But now verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Amen.
By one offering, by one sacrifice, when he died on the cross of Calvary, before he went to the cross, he had to go through Gethsemane, and we have to go through Gethsemane before we come to the cross. In Gethsemane, the Son of Man, he said, not my, but thy will be done. Not as I will, but as you will.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, let us put our will into the will of God.
Amen.
That we not only pray thy will be done, but that's our heart's desire, thy will be done in our lives. And remember verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected. He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Without sanctification, no one will see God.
Amen.
And I'm just so grateful for the perfect redemption that we have received, for the perfect Word of God, for the perfect message God has given unto us. And I wrote it into my Bible when Brother Branham made the first statement about his commission, about his sending. He made the first statement in 1959 on February the 9th in San Juan in Puerto Rico. And I read word for word what he said, or was told, what he was told. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, the message given you will be a forerunner of the second coming of Christ. And then he adds, not that I would be the forerunner, but the message was the forerunner. I'm no more than a man. Yes, not Brother Branham, but the message given to him will forerun the second coming of Christ. In his day and time, he altogether visited 12 countries in all of his 7 trips he made. He visited 7 trips, 12 countries altogether. But now the message has reached the ends of the earth. And I still have some of the programs right from New Zealand, TV programs from New Zealand, reaching all that region, from Australia, from USA, from Canada, from Russia, from South America. I still have all these TV stations week for week. We are reaching those that I could not reach in person, but we can reach by TV programs in all these different countries. And I'm telling you, the Lord is blessing, the Lord is calling out, and the scripture is fulfilled. Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations as a witness, and then the end will be. So let the end come. The main thing is that we are prepared. It's not as much as we know. We must prepare. Please prepare. Please prepare, because it says in Matthew 25:10, they that were ready went in to the marriage, and the door was closed. And maybe just one experience. When Brother Branham in his lifetime was taken beyond the curtain of time, he saw the redeemed. He saw the redeemed. And he saw that they were all young, about 17, 18. And one lady came to him when he was taken out of the body, and she said, "Do you recognize me?" He said, "No, I don't." And then she said, "I was 92 when I heard you preach, and when I believed, I was 92. And look at me now." Amen. Brothers and sisters, in the resurrection, there will be no trace of sickness, no trace of sin, no trace of old age. Nobody will go like this. No, no, no. Nobody will go on crutches. No, 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 no. Perfect, perfect, perfect. And I say this because I had this wonderful experience in January 1981, when I was dying with malaria tropica, and the doctors had given me up. I only had 49% of the red blood left, and they just pushed me to a room, one curtain here and one curtain here, to a room where people died. I could not speak anymore, but I could still hear. And something wonderful happened. When all the doctors and all the professors, a whole team, came again to my room, I heard the word of Professor Becker, "It's too late, it's too late." And then they pushed me into the room where people died. And I knew I was going. And I wanted to say these words, "Dear Lord, how do I stand in your presence?" And the next moment, I was taken out of this body, under the blue sky, under the blue sky. And when I looked to my right, I saw a white-dressed multitude that no one can number. And all were young. All were young. The sisters had their hair open, falling down the back. It was just something wonderful. All the different hair colors. Yeah, I saw it. And we were taken up and taken up. And it seemed the ministers were in the first line. Were in the first line. And I was also here in the first line. And I could just look. And the next person was not further away from me like my hand is now. And we were taken up and taken up. And I knew in my spirit that when we passed the dividing line from the lower to the upper atmosphere, we shall meet the Lord in the air. And I was just, thought, what is going to happen next? Brothers and sisters, then I saw the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. And I was taken into it with the whole multitude. So I believe with all my heart that the Lord is calling out the bride. And he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. Don't only hear the prophets or the apostles. Let the Spirit of God reveal to you what God has spoken through the prophets and through the apostles. What God has spoken through the Old and New Testament. I know the coming of the Lord is within reach. And I hope to live to see it. God knows. I just hope. I hope, like the Apostle Paul said, we should not all fall asleep, but we should all be changed.
Amen.
So pray for me. Pray for me. As I told you, my age is here, but I'm very grateful for all the years the Lord gave me to be with Brother Branham, the 10 years, and the Lord gave me since 1965, and especially since 1966, to take his precious word to the ends of the earth. I will see you again. I will see you for the glory of God.
Amen.
To be in the bride.
Amen.
To be in the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Believe him. The word of redemption is perfect. The message is perfect. The word of God is perfect. And we shall be perfected and be and see the Lord as it is. John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. We shall see him as he is, and we shall be like he is. Here is the mystery. He came to be as we are. And because we have sinned in this body of flesh, he came into a body of flesh. Took the curse, took the sin upon him, redeemed us, that we might be redeemed also from this body, and then corruption will take on incorruption, and we shall see our Lord and Savior and be with him forever. God bless you, beloved brother. God bless you in a special way, and God bless all the brothers, and God bless just each and everyone. God bless all the sisters. Stand behind the brothers who preach the word of God.
Amen.
Never speak anything against a preacher. Never be part of a slaughter, and never to say something that is not right. Pray. Pray for the brothers who share the word of God with you, and you will be blessed. They're not human beings, but the word of God remains forever. So we are teaching and preaching the word of God. love one another, because only perfect love would enter there. Only perfect love would enter there. Love one another, love the Lord, love His Word, and believe that He that has begun the work will also finish it unto the day of His return. God bless you and be with you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Let us stand for a word of prayer. And brother, you also can come now. But I would like to pray for those who wish to be ready for the return of Christ. May I see your hands with all your hearts. With all your hearts. You wish to be ready. God bless you. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the many scriptures that we could read. And I ask you, dear Lord, to put them together for each and every one. Dear Lord, even if I could not put everything as I would wish to do it, but you can. You will take all the scriptures and give the right understanding to each and every one as we read in Luke chapter 24. You opened the understanding of the disciples, and their hearts were burning as you shared with them what Moses said, what the prophets said. Dear Lord, I pray that you would open each understanding, that our hearts would start to burn because you turned our hearts back to the apostolic fathers. You brought us back to the original Word of God. Dear Lord, I pray that all who are present today will be in the rapture. May they believe in the full redemption by the blood of the Lamb. May they believe in the full Word of God. And may they all be filled with the Holy Spirit and sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of our bodily redemption. Dear Lord, may your blessings rest upon the ministering brethren in a special way. May they read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 3. May they read Ephesians 4 from verse 11. May they read the scriptures and find their place in the body of Christ, to share the same food, the same teachings, the same gospel as in the beginning. And dear Lord, we believe that you are the first and the last.
Amen.
You have started and you will finish.
Amen.
And we believe it will be in our time. It will be soon. And we just thank you for it. Bless all my brothers. Bless all my sisters. And again, I ask you in your holy and precious name, may every brother and every sister that is present today believe you and prepare for the second coming of Christ. Dear Lord, I commit all things to you in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ. Bless the pastor of the local assembly. Bless all the other brethren from different cities and assemblies. And be with us all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may receive the God bless you. Amen. Thank you.